This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talking some Badger football, maybe a little bit of basketball. Who knows where the conversation may take us. Evan Flood, the Wisconsin insider for 247sports.com. You can find him on Twitter at Evan_Flood. Evan, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me first and foremost, how big of a win or good of a win was this over Iowa this past weekend?
Well, I think you can look at it, you know, one of two ways. A, coming out of a bye week, having lost two straight, you know, it didn't matter how Wisconsin got it done. They just needed to find a way to win, get back on track, and then keep their Big Ten West hopes alive. You know, in the same breath, this was an Iowa defense that came in ranked top 10 in the country. You know, it's been impossible to run the ball on them this season. You get Jonathan Taylor to go for 250 yards as a team. You run for 300. You know, and a lot of you know, Jonathan Taylor's first running back to hit 250 yards against Iowa since at least 2000. This was a great day on the ground, bounce back day for that offensive line that struggled in the previous two losses to Illinois and Ohio State. On the other hand, you know, you get up 21-6 and you allow Iowa, you know, probably caught Wisconsin off guard by sort of scrapping their game plan and, you know, throwing the ball 20 of their 23 final plays, and you were able to hit some plays deep on Wisconsin to claw back into the game. I don't think you'd love to see that if you're a Wisconsin fan, but I think the biggest thing is, you know, you just needed to win this game and, you know, get some positive momentum for the final three games of the season here. And, you know, A, hope that Minnesota loses at least one more game, and B, hope if you're a Badger fan, hope the team wins out.
Let's go back to the Ohio State contest, because they went toe-to-toe with them for a while, and then Ohio State just blew the doors off. I think we can all look at that loss to Illinois, maybe raise an eyebrow and go, okay, maybe that's a little bit better loss the way Illinois has played. Specifically, they had Michigan and then the Badgers, and obviously got a win, come from behind win against Michigan State. But I don't think they're a steadfast team by any stretch. But that loss to Ohio State, what happened in your eyes? I mean, because the wheels just came off in the second half of that ballgame.
Yeah, my feeling after the first half was Wisconsin's playing too good on the road to not be winning this game, at least defensively playing too good to not be winning this game or be within one score. And you could kind of see it coming with how long the defense had to be on the field. You know, this is a Wisconsin offense that, you know, holds the ball better or almost better than any other team in the country. They were not able to sustain drives. And as good as Wisconsin's defense was, you know, you could feel those snaps. I think Ohio State ran 25 more plays in Wisconsin that game. You could feel those snaps starting to add up, but eventually Ohio State was able to blow the doors off with some big plays. You know, in the same breath, it kind of felt like, you know, the 2017 Big Ten championship game in some ways in that first half. I didn't feel like Wisconsin came out swinging against Ohio State. It felt like the game plan was to try and stay close and make your move in the fourth quarter. It didn't feel like they were all that aggressive offensively. It felt like they were trying to pound the ball with Jonathan Taylor pretty much the whole game. They had a 2-to-1 run-to-pass ratio and kind of bang their heads against the wall rather than maybe open things up and maybe try and take advantage of a stacked box. It just felt like, you know, Wisconsin wasn't aggressive enough offensively to try and win that game. But I think the biggest area of concern after that loss was just the inability to sustain drives and keeping your defense on the field for so long, because eventually J.K. Dobbins busted them for a couple big games to pull that game open.
Give me your thoughts on Jack Cohen. He had that one interception against Ohio State that seemed to open the floodgates and seal the deal down the stretch. And then he just looked off, I guess, in this game against Iowa. Just shaking off rust from a week off, or was Iowa doing something to throw him off his game, or is he just didn't look the same?
Yeah, you know, we've seen this against really good defensive lines, and it feels like Cohen maybe rushing his mechanics a little bit. You know, Wisconsin's getting a lot of single coverage and the receivers are being pressed off the ball. And, of course, when you have the defensive line like Iowa and Ohio State have had, I think it's only natural for you to kind of rush your footwork back there, maybe not scan the whole field. So I do see some things just in terms of him rushing and, you know, playing with happy feet back there that's affecting maybe his accuracy, affecting maybe some of his decision-making. You know, we'll see if he gets back to, maybe what he was showing earlier in the season against the Nebraska defense that hasn't been really good. And certainly Wisconsin should be able to control the line of scrimmage in that one. But, you know, I think, you know, you've seen a couple times against Ohio State even and against Iowa, you know, he just kind of takes his time back there, allows his receivers to gain separation and kind of let it fly and play loose. You know, he can make some big plays with the passing game. And I know Wisconsin felt like they needed to loosen up that Iowa defense as good as they've been against the run. They came out and threw four of their first five times on Saturday, which I really thought was a good change up to try and use the pass to open up the run rather than what they've been doing historically, which is use the run to open up the pass. I thought that really helped. So, you know, I think he'll have a better performance here against Nebraska, because I would expect Wisconsin's offensive line to really pass protect a lot better than maybe they had in the last three games here.
Defensively speaking, have they been exposed? Did Ohio State do something to them, or did Illinois do something to them to say all of a sudden that, you know, hey, here's a couple of holes that you might be able to fill?
I thought Illinois kind of exposed the way Wisconsin the way I thought Ohio State would first. You saw a lot of spread. You saw a lot of these scat backs for Wisconsin, or for opposing teams have tended to give Wisconsin some problems. And you saw Reggie Corbin for Illinois really get a lot of space in the trenches. And Wisconsin's linebackers, especially on the inside, you know, they're very good players. You take them any time, but they're not the most athletic group that necessarily tackles all that well in space against this type of speed. And, you know, we saw what J.K. Dobbins was able to do. You know, Iowa doesn't have that type of personnel, but, you know, when they basically abandoned the run game and started, attacking Wisconsin's secondary, I think that's another area. I don't think we know how good this, you know, Wisconsin secondary really is yet. You know, it's not necessarily a group that's been tested a ton. I've kind of been surprised at how much teams want to run against this Wisconsin front. But like I said, you saw Iowa throw the ball 20 of their final 23 plays, and they were able to have a lot of success against a secondary that doesn't have a ton of ball hawks and playmakers. You know, this is a group that relies on technique and isn't going to get a ton of PBUs, isn't going to get a ton of interceptions. They just want to keep you in front and, you know, hopefully throw off your timing and allow you to misfire more than they are going to be an aggressive group. So there's two things I think this Wisconsin defense, you know, if I'm Jim Leonard, concerns me. The ability to tackle in space, you know, whether it's between the tackles or on the perimeter, and just the secondary. You know, how much our team's going to start airing it out after what they just saw Iowa do, in the fourth quarter here.
Obviously the big one over the weekend was the fact that the Minnesota Golden Gophers got a win. And they beat a pretty good team in Penn State. Penn State tried to come roaring back, but nevertheless, Minnesota gets a win. I think we all have to take Minnesota for real now, right?
I think so. And, you know, whether or not you believe that Penn State was worthy of the number four spot, I don't think it matters. You know, that was a really big game for Minnesota. A ton of pressure on them to kind of prove the doubters wrong. And they jumped on Penn State and were able to hold them off late, maybe got away with a penalty there on the final play of scrimmage for Penn State. And that may have swung that game. But, you know, they were really effective offensively. Their quarterback, Tanner Morgan, 18 of 20, 340 yards, three touchdowns. I think those receivers, Rashad Bateman, Tyler Johnson, are just fantastic. You know, defense left a little to be desired, in the front seven, I think their secondary is pretty good. A lot of playmakers back there, you know, front seven, I think leaves a little to be desired in terms of, their run defense and physicality up front. But this team, I think, you know, at the beginning of the season, we were all kind of expecting Wisconsin to go in there and get the axe back. I can't say that's anything a guarantee now. And, you know, looking at their schedule ahead, there's no guarantee that game doesn't even matter for the Big Ten West, assuming Minnesota can beat Iowa this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they do, it's pretty much a moot point at this point anyway. What would end up being a successful season for the Badgers? Or have they already had a successful season in the sense that they outplayed what a lot of people already assumed that they would get as far as garnering wins and losses.
Yeah, it's tough to say because, you know, we were all kind of iffy on, you know, what this season would be. I think before the season, I think 9 wins would have been successful for Wisconsin, but they started off so well. Obviously getting off to the 6-0 start, rising to 6th in the country, and then all of a sudden the college football playoff talk starts up again, the Big Ten championship talk starts up again, and now here we are with Wisconsin not even controlling their own destiny in the Big Ten West. So I would probably raise the bar just from the preseason expectations. I think if Wisconsin can get to 10 wins and win a bowl game, whether or not they're able to make it to Indianapolis or not, I would put that down as a successful season for Paul Chryst and company.
Yeah, I probably would as well. Always good to talk to you, my friend. We'll chat again down the road, especially towards the Big Ten championship game, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks again.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Evan Flood joining us for a couple of minutes, the Wisconsin insider for 247sports.com, 247sports.com. You can find him on Twitter, @Evan_Flood. And you can track him down there. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.